This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 476 and three quarters, up 2 1/4. September corn, 474, up 5 3/4. December corn, 473 1/2, up 1 3/4. July soybeans, 1518 and three quarters, up 13 1/2. August soybeans, 1448, up 17 1/4. September soybeans, 1327 1/4, up 20. July wheat, 659 1/4, down 5. September wheat, 670, down 5 1/4. December wheat, 688 1/4, down 4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
I'm Bob Reese, and this is Thursday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon, with exports and processors' demand for soybeans moved it upward, pulling corn up in a positive with it. With lower than expected exports and forecast of rain in the southwest plains, wheat closed lower today. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 4 cents higher at 447 to 477. Soybean bids were 14 to 17 cents higher at 1504 to 1533. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted corn up 2 to 3 cents at 444 to 474, and soybean bids were up 9 to 14 cents at 1511 to 1546. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 4 cents higher at 456 to 493. Soybean bids were up 11 cents at 1518 to 1548. Wheat bids were down 5 to 8 cents at 622 to 656. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were 11 to 18 cents higher at 1544 to 1579, with the basis mixed at 25 to 60 over the July. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was $5.26.50 to $5.42.50 a ton, and that was $2.40 to $3.40 higher, with the basis unchanged at 25 to 41 over the July. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were up 2 cents at 475 to 493, with the basis steady at 2 under to 16 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 482 to 485, with the basis 1 to 2 higher at 5 to 8 over the July. Soybeans ended 14 cents higher at 1532 to 1538, and the basis unchanged at 13 to 19 over the July. Wheat prices were down 5 cents at 632 to 639. With the basis unchanged at 27 to 20 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 504 to 506. These elevators raised their soybean prices 6 to 9 cents with quotations of 1552 to 1561. Soft wheat closed 5 to 8 cents lower at 662 to 670, and Milo was 2 cents higher at 492 to 502. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 433 to 448 and soybeans 1231 to 1249. In the central part of the state, corn was 434 to 454 and soybeans 1229 to 1253. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 430 to 454 and soybeans from 1239 to 1271. Soft wheat ranged from 625 to 650. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 137.60, down 67 cents. August live cattle, 138.65, down 95 cents. October live cattle, 142.67, down 70 cents. May feeder cattle, 189.07, down 12 cents. August feeder cattle, 195.37, down $1.15. September feeder cattle, 196.55, down $1. June lean hogs, 117.60, down $2.32. July lean hogs, 125.32, down $1.50. August lean hogs, 128.10, down 62 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 22nd's afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 70 to 73, 4 to 5 weights 74 to 79, 5 to 6 weights 77 to 82, and 6 weights and up 80 to 85. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from 75 to 81. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,783. And now for the opening report from the Walnut Sale. They had receipts of 292 head. Steers and heifers traded steady. Slaughter Holstein steers were a dollar lower. Trade was active and demand good, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 150 to 154. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 131 to 137, with some high dressing at 139 to 142.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 149 to 153. Now on to the report from the Real Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 210 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 149 to 153.50. Select and choice, 145 to 146.50. Select steers were 129 to 133.50. And choice slaughter heifers were 148 to 151.75. Select and choice heifers, 140 to 144.50. And select heifers at 131 to 136. Now onto the slaughter cows. Premiums were 119. Breakers, 91 to 95.50. And boners were $89 to $96, with the leans at $85.50 to $93. On to slaughter bulls. They had a bull under 1,000 pounds bring $1.14, and those over a ton brought $105 to $110. Now on the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 143 to 149, and on a dress basis at 230 to 235. Heifers on a live basis traded at 143 to 145, and on a dress basis at 227.50 to 234. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 261 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $113.78, and that was $1.14 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $231.79, that was 63 cents higher, with select carcasses at $221.16, and that was $107 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000. That compared to 118,000 last week and 124,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 375,000. That compared to 413,000 last week and 418,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.81. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.82. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.72. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.73. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $15.30. June beans delivered to Greenfield, $15.29. May beans delivered to Scottville, $15.19. June beans delivered to Scottville, $15.18. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.34. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.81, corn at Scottville is $4.72, beans at Greenfield are $15.30, beans at Scottville are $15.19, and wheat at Scottville is $6.34. On May 9th, the USDA told the world there would be about 100 million bushels less corn on hand this fall than was expected. However, the price of corn did not react in the usual manner. Instead, as Todd Gleason reports, it has tumbled lower.
The price of old crop corn dropped about 40 cents during the week's worth of trade following the USDA WASDE report. This drop came in spite of the positive ending stock surprise and continued demand for U.S. corn, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
The current pace of ethanol production, for example, exceeds the pace needed to consume the projected 5.05 billion bushels of corn for the marketing year. Similarly, the weekly rate of exports and export sales of corn exceed the pace needed to reach the USDA projection of 1.9 billion bushels. Finally, record large livestock feeding margins and low corn prices relative to other feed ingredients should be supportive of feed use of corn.
Well, Good thinks the recent drop in the price of corn reflects a combination of the drop in the price of wheat coupled to the prospect for a buildup of corn stocks during the 2014 marketing year.
Projections for the U.S. corn market include expectations of a crop slightly larger than the record crop of 2013, a decline in both feed and residual use and exports, and a year-over-year increase in year-ending stocks of 580 million bushels.
This buildup puts the 2014-15 marketing year corn carryout at 1.7 billion bushels. That number's about half a billion more than this year. It's weighed some on the market, especially as the planters have rolled throughout a good deal of the Midwest, ensuring the crop is mostly planted in a timely fashion.
Still, there should be some concern about crop progress and yield prospects in northern growing areas where planting progress was well behind the average pace as of May 11th. Even though the current corn price decline seems to be a little premature, given the strong pace of consumption and production uncertainty, a turnaround will likely require more convincing evidence of tighter balance sheets. In regards to the old crop balance sheet, the June 1 stocks estimate will be most important for updating year-end stocks estimates.
New crop corn prospects will obviously unfold over a much longer time period. However, it is important to note the price of new crop corn has traded close to the crop insurance price. The downside risk for farmers, heavily insured, is limited. The upside potential for the price of corn will be largely determined by weather and weather forecasts for the months of June and July. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Those who are fans of older-time tractors may be looking forward to a certain event this weekend, the Oddball Tractor Show. I spoke with P.J. Rosentrader about this particular tractor show.
May 24th and 25th will be Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 4. It's going to be at the Historical Society here in Carlinville.
And what exactly is an Oddball Tractor Show?
Well, it's kind of those tractors that most people have never heard of. I mean, you have all your name brands, the John Deere's, the Case International, Alice Chalmers, that everybody still hears about. These are the brands that were back in the 40s and 50s, usually, and they were short-lived.
So what can people who are coming expect to see?
Well, this is kind of the first year we've trying to gather them up. They're kind of few and far between, so we kind of decided we'd try a show and see if we can't gather some of them in, and maybe they'll pass the news to their friends, and we can do a show later on maybe and expand it a little bit, because there's a lot of them out there. It's getting a hold of them.
Right. I imagine it's a problem getting a hold of these tractors.
Right.
And do you have a certain number that you're expecting already?
We would be thrilled if we could get 20. From around this area with such short notice and time frame. They're just not that plentiful. statewide we could get a lot of them, but of course you kind of got to build up to that.
Right, of course. That takes a lot of planning.
Yes.
And do you already know of any tractors in particular that are going to be at this oddball tractor show that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yes, we'll have, I think, a couple BF Averys, some Silver Kings, which are a pretty unusual tractor. I think there's a Wards coming, a Co-op. There's a Leader tractor coming, and there's some unusual ones. We have some Cinchars that belong to the club that we'll put out there, and that, like I said, all them are companies that are long gone.
Right, so it's almost a nostalgic feel for some of these tractors.
Right.
Why do you think that this oddball tractor show is a cool thing to have?
A lot of those people, unless they belong to a major club for the Silver King or the BF Avery, they're just never featured anywhere. You know, they may take their tractor and show it, but they're not the main one out front on display.
So this is a good chance to come out and see some tractors that you're not going to get to see every day.
Right.
All right. Sounds great. And just one last time, can you go over the date, time, and place of this oddball tractor show again?
That'll be May 24th and 25th, this Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 4 at the County Historical Society.
All right. Sounds great. And hopefully you guys get a pretty large crowd and get the wheels rolling for some good oddball tractor shows in the future.
Yes. Thank you.
Again, that was P.J. Rosentrater talking about the Oddball Tractor Show. As the ground dries up, many farmers are getting back into the fields to plant soybeans. Montgomery County farmer Thomas Martin was in the station to give an update on how planting season is going for his family's farm.
So far, we have completed all the corn planting. There's a few acres that we're kind of keeping an eye on whether or not replant is going to be something that we're going to need to look at doing on some of our acres, but really, for the most part, the corn is looking good. The rains that we got over the past week seem to have been just right, maybe a little too much, but nothing that is too detrimental on a lot of our acres. Certainly, you know, we could maybe hold off on the rain, but it's been going pretty well. The corn is looking very strong.
What is your ratio of corn to soybean acres that you're going to plant this year?
We're a little heavy on corn, but honestly, pretty even between the two.
And some people were saying that their corn was looking a little sad, a little yellow after the cold snap. How did your guys' turn out?
It was, but it's already greening up very nicely. And so I'm really thinking the corn's going to come on through this, and especially with this warm weather that we're now starting to kind of run into. It's every time you look at it, it's a little taller, and that's what you want to see this time of year.
In terms of the growing season that's coming up here, what are your main concerns when looking at it from a point of diseases, weeds, pests, things like that?
Obviously, there's a whole host of things, most of those being weather dependent. If we could only have that magic eight ball to know what the weather is going to do, that obviously is the biggest determinant on our weed pressure, insect pressure, and disease pressure. Right now, things are looking good. I've been doing a little bit of cleanup spraying around some of the fields by our house, but nothing too intense. It's been going pretty well so far this season.
And the key for a lot of those resistant weeds is to keep your fields clean from the beginning.
Yes, and I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, we're making sure that we're getting scouted for, is some of those tolerant weeds to some of the chemicals that are on the market.
And have you had any pest problems yet? I hear some people are worrying about cutworm or things like that.
We haven't noticed any yet. Obviously, again, something that you got to look out for, but we're not running into those.
All right, very good. Looking forward to planting your beans?
Well, yes, hopefully we're going to be doing the beans. We're hoping to do the County Farm Bureau Young Leaders plot this week and hopefully get the soybean plot in there. And if weather cooperates, hopefully be done with beans here in the next week or two.
That's the general gist of things. I feel everybody is really anxious to get their beans in the fields and just be done with planting.
Yes.
Martin also gave an update on a petition he was spearheading to fix the frontage road.
Yes, it's always another headache. Actually, I spoke with Representative Wayne Rosenthal the other night, actually at the Lincolnwood FFA banquet. And unfortunately, IDOT is currently planning on doing some work on the east frontage road, which is barely traveled in that section north of the Raymond exit. But there is hope that IDOT is going to have this on their one-year plan, so that way hopefully something will be done about it. I noticed there's some fresh potholes there with lots of beautiful rebar in there. But certainly it's something that is becoming just a constant headache, and it's something that the state will need to put an investment in, but it's one of those investments that they have not really put forward in decades, and so it's probably about time that we have that. Unfortunately, as everyone knows, Illinois is a broken state, and getting some of those types of things taken care of is very difficult, especially with IDOT and some of the issues they're running into at this present moment.
Again, that was Montgomery County farmer Thomas Martin. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.